the living dead, vampires, torture, evil has existed since the dawn of time. But what are the origins of this evil? Wicked History explores the origins for a better understanding of the future. Here are your hosts, Chris Adkins and Lane Deesh.
I made it.
So today is going to be a special episode because I pulled a fast one on my sister. I wrote the episode and then left it in Ohio for her to do. Plus, Yay. We have a special guest.
Yay! Oh,
we've no. got Dad here.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, so watch what you say.
Yeah.
Hi, no, Dad.
Watch no, that language.
No cuss words.
I was thinking about that. I was like, I bet you I don't cuss with my dad on air. I bet you I'm on my best behavior.
Have you seen scarification?
Mm-mm.
It's when they do tattoos by cutting into the skin to leave a scar.
Get into this.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, we were talking about, before you connected, we were talking about body modifications.
Yeah.
And he's looking at some really strange implants that are put in, like, facials, hands.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is not the subject today, but it's the modern-day version of it.
Yes, very it's much.
Well, and I was thinking about that earlier as I was reading the episode, is this is more body mod than it is beauty standards. Now, things that were done possibly for beauty standards, and also it's multicultural. It's not Americanized beauty standards. However, it's all, you know, subjective. It's all cultural.
Well,
right?
It's cultural, but it's for beauty.
Yes.
Well, in their opinion.
Well, they.
Well, like,
well, yeah, in their opinion, in their culture.
That's
so.
Part of their,
is that seen as beauty, or was it done?
That's one we'll talk about. It
yes.
was. It was done for beauty, but it was done because of their religion. Like, women needed to look a certain way for their religion, but having the long neck is beautiful for them.
Well, that's what I'm so in that sense, it's a beauty modification, you know, it's
right.
Like, it's what you do in the name of beauty.
Right. And we're going to get into some dead.
I would
ones.
Call it torture.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
It's torture. Torture that we put ourselves through in the name
well, yeah.
of beauty.
If you look at the modern day stuff, which I am right now on my computer screen, it's just pretty darn gross. And you know, it can't be a pleasant process to go through.
Never.
To be this weird looking.
No, they put those silicone implants under the skin, and we're talking not surgeons doing it.
Well, it's just stretching your earlobe. You know, I see people every day with those rings where their earlobe is stretched, you know, the size of a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one. I didn't get into more modern day when I.
Oh, look at this one on his cheek.
Oh, yeah. You can see his teeth through his cheek.
So they did it on
well,
the side.
Well, and another, if I can touch on that, there are body modifications that we do nowadays that aren't, they're not acceptable, but, well, they are, but the person can choose to do that rather than it being generational, like you have to do this because this is what I had to do when I was younger and what your grandmother did when she was younger to maintain a certain beauty standard. Rather than this is something that people do, like there's a lot of body modifications that people do nowadays that make them stand out from the rest.
Well, face tattooing is really popular right now amongst young people.
It is so popular right now.
And while tattoos aren't necessarily permanent, you can have them removed. The removal is painful and it scars you. So it's not like you're ever free of those mistakes. So I do wonder, you know, when they get to be my age, what you think about?
Well, this guy, he'll never go back.
Oh yeah. He's completely, he's completely blacked out. He's blacked out all of his skin and tattoos and removed the tip of his nose.
Apparently. Well, okay. So this is really cool because it is also a starting point of not wanting to go back, of not wanting to be part of a tradition, of not wanting to fit into normal society, to not want to be part.
And clearly these people modern day don't.
Don't. Yeah. You know, well,
you look at some of these people that have gone so far, like this one we're looking at right now.
They're irreversible.
That, yes, it is irreversible. And
it's well, we're going to talk about some that are irreversible.
Cut his ears off, too. No ears.
Wow. We're going to talk about some irreversible things that people did for beauty that are maybe not so much recognizable by looking at their face, but they sure as hell, you know, did some pretty rough
things.
Can I ask
a quick question about last week's episode?
Yes.
Since I was a listener and not able to do that. You posted some pictures afterwards, and one of them was a man whose entire lower jaw was gone. But I don't remember you talking about him, or is that just an example
of
radium?
It's an example of what happens when you take radium. So that guy was an Olympic athlete. And he injured himself, and his doctor prescribed a medication called Radithor, which was radium, a radium
what
drink.
What time frame? When in history was
early 1900s.
So they didn't know better back then. It was back when it was still believed this was a cure-all.
Well, they saw radium, and they saw all the energy it produced and thought, hell yeah, let's put that in my body. I bet you. And it did. He took it. He got addicted to it.
Yeah, and you covered that real good. I just didn't know what his example was.
He was up to, like,
I didn't know whether I missed it.
No. He was drinking 4 bottles of radium a day.
Holy cow.
So
we did.
His jaw just, but that's what I kind of talked about, like, what radium does, and it starts at the jaw. His jaw fell completely off.
No, I could probably bring it up, but it's not important. But there were child's toys. You know, you could buy chemistry sets. And I used to have, and I may still, I do have it on my computer somewhere because I saved these old. My career was in advertising, so I like old advertising and marketing and stuff. But anyway, they were selling chemistry kits, and it said, you know, with
mercury or radium
radiation. What's the term I'm looking for? What is radioactive? I guess it's radium.
Radium is the compound. Yeah. But even uranium is close. And we can still buy uranium glass, and they would talk about, yeah, let's get our uranium glass and pour some Radithor in it. And so they're just double whamming themselves.
Well, so is the radium glass, because I'm an antique guy.
It's the uranium glass.
I don't collect it, but I'm tempted to because I think it's so cool.
It's safe.
Oh.
But you don't want to eat off of it necessarily.
Or you'll start glowing in the dark.
Well, like once you cut, you know, yeah, your jaw will fall off.
Well, so Lane, what are we talking about today?
Well, can I just say uranium glass is awesome, and I love the people that take pieces and make jewelry out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and on one of my auctions, there was a juicer, a uranium glass juicer, like, so, you know, you just, your juice would, and yes, I wondered, is this safe?
I mean, I don't think it's not safe because it's still in circulation. But I'd have to do.
I'm no authority, but it's not really. They call it that, but it's not.
Yes.
It's phosphorescent or something else that glows under a black light.
They also call it Vaseline glass. So I don't know.
Yes.
I think uranium, and there probably is some that may have contained it at one time, but I don't know that the vast majority of what's out there that glows under a black light actually contains uranium. It's just a name that they've associated with it. But
I am so excited to hear what you have to talk about today.
I feel it. You know all about it.
I had to do the hard work, but I was real shady. So when I left Ohio yesterday, I intentionally did not take my notes that I had written Friday night. so that Lane would be forced to do her own episode.
I haven't had time to, you know, do the research. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And in between everything, you know, that I do, it's hard for me to write episodes, even though I really want to. And I love to tell stories.
Well, here's your chance. So let's hear what you got.
All right. So we are
Is this the story of
Jack and Diane?
No, no. What was her made up name? The her character Boogala or
Boobala?
Boobala. That Boobala. Was it. Are we talking about Boobala today?
Or baby brother George that didn't exist.
Baby brother George, yeah. I can't believe I erased that. I wish I had that on tape still.
Are you guys messing with me?
Yes, we are.
We love you though. You only roast the people you love. Okay, we're ganging up on you. I apologize.
I'll shut up.
Could you guys shut up and let me read the story that Chris wrote?
Of course.
So my favorite is foot binding.
Number one, foot binding.
Foot binding. Have you ever heard of it?
I have.
No, but I at the end, before you move on to the next subject... I've got a real life story for somebody that y'all know real well.
Really?
But let's hear the ritual.
Okay.
Oh, uranium.
Yep. Uranium. Yep.
The atomic. Here's the, by Gilbert, the Atomic Energy Lab.
For kids.
For kids. And it contains uranium.
Wow. Cyanide, uranium, and ammonium nitrate.
Wow.
That's what every kid needs that's learning about chemistry.
Right. I mean, I'm sure some cool things would happen.
It's a cool looking kit, but okay. With the first one?
You're never going to invite Dad again.
Right. Dad, could you just hush?
This will be our highest rated episode.
I can start with any of them, but I kind of wanted to start with the foot binding because I feel like that's the one that a lot of people do know about.
Yes, and it's horrifying.
It is so horrifying. So
I don't know anything about it. What do you mean? Now everybody knows. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So
I never heard of it.
So this is
binding.
This is like an Asian, an Asian thing. It reminds me of like a geisha, the wood shoes, you know, the feet are very small, very, very feminine, slows the person down, gives them a stride that, you know, makes them almost look like they're floating because they can't take big steps.
Right.
That's your grandmother.
They take very little steps because, well, they've deformed their foot so bad that they can barely move.
Yeah. And this is all in the name of,
beauty.
Of beauty. So let's see what we have here.
All right.
So girls from the age of 5 are subjected to torture. Which maybe wasn't considered torture, even though I'm sure the people doing this to their children knew that it hurt because they probably had it done to themselves.
Oh yeah.
So it is where you break and bind the feet. So it was what you want to achieve is a tiny foot. And how this is achieved.
By the way,
I'm
looking at photos and it's not just the size, but it's the shape. Cone shape.
Yeah.
Right. Very small.
The shoes that they wore. Now, this is in China, and I'm sure there's other cultures in other parts of the world, but
it's all Asian, you know. Japanese.
But anyway, so go ahead though. But I'm just saying, this has got to be not just small size, but a certain shape.
They call it the lotus foot.
Ugh.
It looks like a lotus pod. But yeah, go ahead. Tell us how that's done.
Well, let me tell you, the first thing is it takes years.
Yes.
They start at 5 years old, which is insane because that's a baby. They break the big toe. And then they bind the feet downward, curling the toes in.
They break everything but the big toe.
They break everything but the big toe.
And then wrap the toes under the feet. Yeah.
So they're breaking the metatarsals, which are the long bones in your foot.
They're breaking the tarsals and the metatarsals.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the tarsal bones are the bones that your ankle go into. So, like, your heel is part of, like, your tarsal bones, kind of. And then the metatarsals are the long bones that then connect to your toes. So starting at 5 years old, they start breaking the feet, everything except for the big toe. And I would assume all the toes, right?
Well, the big toe can stay out front, but it does get pulled. I mean, when you look at the feet, the big toe is the only one that's still straight out.
So over time, the woman will only be walking on her toes and her heels. The rest of her foot has completely folded over. So this process happens over and over again until the foot actually folds. And the toes wrap under the ball of the feet, causing limited mobility, and it's crippling.
Absolutely.
They started this binding process in the winter because the cold would most likely numb the feet. So let's enter into this world. You have
it
just...
was this only in China or other Asian cultures?
Other Asian cultures did it.
Do you know of any others?
That's really interesting because I hate to just pinpoint a certain culture and... almost wonder if saying Asian is appropriate, but this is like a Asian, that's where I've heard about it the most is in Asian cultures. I mean,
well, it's just like, the neck stretching that we'll get to too. I'm sure that
multicultural, which is awesome. The neck stretching, she actually, researched a clan like in Thailand.
Well,
neck rings.
Well, to tell you multicultural, maybe this would be a time to insert my story, and I'll make it brief. I'll tell you more about it offline if you want to know. But your grandmother, my mother, she at the risk of having big feet or being known to big feet. So I mean, you know, it goes up to today. You don't want to, you squeeze your foot into a smaller size shoe. I'm sure you've done it. But she did it to the point that it deformed her feet, almost like these. I mean, she didn't have bones removed to make them curl under, but her feet, she had such high arches as a result, and her toes were curled under.
Wow.
All right. So when I was probably around 10 years old, she went and had to have surgery, and they removed the joints from her toes to straighten them out and put pins, straight pins, through the ends of every toe on both feet, and then cut the tendons in her arches to allow her foot to go down and flat. So her foot, essentially, she changed her shoe size surgically, you know, overnight.
I remember her having a high heel look.
She had difficulty walking the rest of her life, but she wouldn't have walked at all if she hadn't had the surgery. So anyway, and she did all of that in the name of
beauty.
Beauty. Yeah. Not, you know, wanting to wear smaller shoes. So, you know, anyway.
So we will get to why this is done. But first, let's start by the ceremony. You're 5 years old. Winter is here. You're told it's time for your foot binding ceremony. So your feet are soaked in a bowl of warm water, herbs, nuts, or animal blood. I'm sure that that depends on culture and family beliefs. After this is all done, everything but your big toe is broken, then wrapped, pulling the four small toes under the rest and onto the balls of the foot. The feet are wrapped super tight. They are then pulled to the heel and wrapped to the ankles. Over time, the metatarsals are pulled into a vertical position. So that's hard for me to imagine without the metatarsals, you know, being broken, like half the metatarsal. It's almost like they would fold over onto themselves in a way. But I'm sure we'll be posting pictures of these feet.
It looks like if you took your hand and pulled your fingers to the base of your palm, that meaty part of your palm.
Right.
It's like that.
Yeah, but your fingers are long and your toes are not as long. So when you close your hand and fold your fingers over, your metacarpals, which are the long bones, the longest bones in your hand right there, they are unscathed, right? Like they remain where they are. So over time, this would reduce the appeared length of the foot. And some feet could be as small as 2 inches long. So after the start of this, every 2 days, the feet are unwrapped, they're cleaned, manicured, massaged, or beaten to soften them to make it easier to bind them up again. So in preparation to start all over again, they'd have to soften your feet, which I'm sure we're not doing well at this point.
No.
Every time the wraps are pulled tighter and tighter, the details do differ from region to region throughout Asia and throughout history. Just some areas pulled the toes under to make a slender cucumber foot, which I don't know if that looks any different than the lotus foot.
It does. It's instead of really messing with the metatarsals, it's really, or the tarsals, it's just pulling the metatarsals under. So it's just a long, skinny foot. It's a little different. They don't bring the tarsals to the heel necessarily, but it's all in the same, you know, beauty standard range.
Okay. So it's hard to picture a cucumber foot. So if we could post a picture of that, that would be fabulous.
I absolutely do that.
All right. Some areas, the women wore uncomfortable platform shoes just to give their gait the appearance of someone with a fully bound foot. Some women were wore bound feet their entire life, as this damage is irreversible. If they could reverse it, that process would be just as painful. So, you know, I'm assuming that when they started doing this, and I don't know when it was banned, but it is a practice that's banned now.
It was banned in the 1920s, but it was really hard to get people to stop it. There are people still alive with this.
That are doing it. Yeah.
But they stopped making those lotus shoes for the bound feet in like 2000 something. So it's not, I mean, it's recent.
Wow, that's really recent and really quite scary. But I don't fully understand other cultures. So why torture these kids and cause a lifetime of pain? The practice started with the aristocracy. Say it again.
Aristocracy. I know I had butchered the way I spelled it, so I apologize.
Aristocrat. Explain to me what that is.
The aristocracy is the upper echelon.
Oh, the upper echelon started this. Okay. And it started as a way to make your daughter marryable. So it was sought after. It trickled down the classes. Men desired the tiny feet, the lotus feet. The smaller the feet, the more feminine the woman. So, a story written in, oh my gosh, 850 CE.
Mm-hmm.
What is CE?
I don't know.
Like a long time ago?
You're supposed to make something up if you don't
it
know.
It means cool era.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Sounds really cool. And anyway, this is crazy. It talks about a beautiful woman who lost her shoe, and the prince finds her because her foot is the only foot small enough for this tiny shoe. Is that the original Cinderella story?
Yes, it is.
That is crazy cool.
That, which Cinderella was a European story.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have a Cinderella type story. There's many Cinderella stories.
Okay.
And so that proves you are only desirable to a prince if you have the smallest, most feminine foot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so small feet were a symbol of sexual prowess. Women with bound feet walked in small steps, forcing the pelvic floor to work overtime to keep the lady from falling over. Mm-hmm. I don't think I need to explain this any further. I think you do.
Okay, so you've got these little feet and you've got this really odd gait walking, and the thought was it causes the muscles in your pelvic floor and your inner thighs to just work overtime. You know, like when you break a leg and you have to put all your weight on the other.
Yeah.
When you do something, another area suffers for it. And so it was seen like, hey, if she can walk around like that, she must be, you know, good in bed.
Kegel exercise.
Like Kegels. Like really excruciating Kegels.
Here's CE is common era.
Common era.
Which means whatever.
It means a year in our time.
Okay.
So I guess that would be like AD after.
Yeah.
So yeah, instead of saying after death, maybe for people who aren't Christian.
Aren't Christian. That's
exactly. Yeah. Okay. Common era.
Is it the same? And I think
it's this secular equivalent to AD.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. You don't believe in Christ, but you talk about before and after. Okay, go ahead.
No, we call it the common era. What are you? Well, but if you're trying to speak of a unit of time, it would be kind of hard not to say AD, which I think a lot of people do, but whatever.
Yeah, before here, common era. Right,
so, you know, forcing their pelvic floor and inner thighs to work overtime to keep the lady from falling over. In a need to explain that further, I guess a man would be more attracted to a woman who has amazing thighs and a super tight pelvic floor.
Now, I'm not going to talk badly about Asian people, but they're pretty known for their weird kinks. You can buy dirty underwear in a vending machine. Oh, so, I mean, yeah, no, small feet, that's not as big a deal.
No. Anywho,
viewers, listeners,
where does it fit in the Kama Sutra?
Kama Sutra is Indian, so close.
Where does this all fit into the Kama Sutra? I'm gonna die. This is killing me.
I've seen China or Asian depictions of sexual positions.
Yeah.
So I guess I wasn't the Kama Sutra.
I mean, well, it is kind of in the Asian realm. It's like a Buddhist or Hindu. I don't want to screw that up.
Anywho,
I don't want to screw that up.
Okay.
Essentially, to me, it's a spiritual form of sex. It's Eastern. So, you know, it's Eastern Asian.
It's a yoga form too.
Yeah. Yeah. Which a lot of people think of yoga as Asian in a way, because karate and different other martial arts are kind of yogic, as in, you know, you take your body to places that are transcendent of what a body should be able to do or whatever, you know. So it's cool. Anywho, so It was concluded that poor girls had their feet bound as discipline and pushed them into trades that require a lot of sitting and weaving, such as basket weavings. In fact, many living survivors of this practice state they were pressured by their mom more than men to do this. Why? I don't know.
That's so sad.
Yeah, that's super sad. And
there was a long time though where having a girl in Asia was almost like a death sentence, because
it was a death sentence, wasn't it?
They had to give a dowry to get them married. You wanted a boy, so breaking your kid's feet was like the only way to really even the playing field to get them married off.
Yes, let's cripple the woman.
Right.
No one really knows where it all started. So signs of feet bindings dates thousands of years back. That's insane. And I would love, I wish we knew where it all really started.
There's no,
because in order for someone to suffer that much pain, they have to truly believe that they're doing something that they need to do or believe. You know what I mean? Like, we suffer a lot for our beliefs.
Yep. But Lane, it looks like, you know, while it's not in the same vein, people aren't necessarily, well, I can't tell in terms of surgical processes, but I'm looking on the internet again and talking about, there are ratings of the celebrities with the smallest feet and what have you. It's still considered sexually attractive,
feminine. Yeah,
well, oh yeah.
I've been to the Chinese theater a couple of times, and what's her name, Judy Garland, her feet are shorter than my hand.
Oh, you're kidding. I would have thought they were big, because thinking back at the Wizard of Oz, and y'all talked about the Wizard of Oz last week, those shoes looked enormous to me.
They're very proportionate to her body.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I'll tell you, proportionate feet are, you know, like attractive to me. I don't know. I looked at myself the other day wearing a pair of high heels, and then like with my body and in these heels, I felt like a cow. Like little tiny hoops and a big old body. And
I
was like,
I don't know that I'm the typical male, but I think I am. You know, I think the way other guys think. But anyway, I never thought about a woman's feet. I never looked at, you know, gosh, she's good looking, but her feet are so big.
But if a woman walked in with some really tall red pumps and a skirt, her legs are going to look like twice as long just because she's got those on. That's why they do it. It makes your legs look longer.
What about, look at these real, real high, high heels. That makes your foot shorter, you know, because of the angle of your foot.
But it elongates your legs.
So that's fine. Feet isn't
I guess my point, or what I was trying to drive at, is I wonder if that's a woman's view of what makes her attractive versus truly what the male is desiring.
Yeah, there's a really good book by Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber. She's a pastor at a Lutheran church, the Church of All Sinners and All Saints. She's, sorry, Dad, fucking phenomenal. I love her.
Go to your room.
Yeah. Remember that time you grounded me for calling my really mean coach a fuckhead? And you're like, you are grounded. And I thought, Dad, man, that's nothing. And guess what?
I don't remember that.
He was mean to me. Anywho, so listen. Nadia Boltz Weber has a really great book called Shameless. And if you're someone who feels,
Billy Joel has a great song by that title.
Yeah. So, Shameless, and you should post that book. It's fabulous. And it shows women, lots of cultures, I'm sure, but definitely American culture, we are made to make ourselves small.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Glennon Doyle actually has a great book called Untamed, and she touches on the same thing. And women are definitely held to a higher standard. So yes, we may think that men want a smaller foot when really a man might not look at feet, but it's there are
makeup in the lane. I mean, we wear makeup and guys are like, why do you even bought? But they also don't notice that we're wearing it sometimes, even when we look all natural. It's like, my eyelashes aren't really that long.
I mean, we could go on forever and ever and ever about it, but whether it's something that guys actually do think about or don't think about. And then another thing too, is that all guys are different. So if it's, if you think it's going to make you look less masculine to be with a woman that isn't petite, blonde, has small feet and a nice ass, then you might not be attracted. Like, for years, a masculine woman hasn't been attractive, or, I mean, even to the point of our personalities, like we weren't even allowed to speak our minds because that's masculine.
We haven't even been voting for 100 years.
No doubt. I mean, so there's,
let's go past that. Let's go back to the tortures.
Let's go back to foot binding. So some women couldn't achieve the 2.5 inch shoe. Maybe they had too much skin. Glass or nails or other sharp objects would be bound with the feet. Why? To cause wounds that would cause the skin to rot off.
Mm.
It worked some of the time. Infections were super common, some leading to death. Something small like an overgrown toenail could puncture the sole of the foot. To prevent this, some little girls had their toenails removed. But even that posed a threat to their health. The tight bindings led to poor circulation, mm-hmm. which made wounds, unable to heal, leading to gangrene and death. I wonder how many, girls died from this. Some infections caused the loss of pieces and parts of the feet, like toes. But that was just, What did you say here?
It's just a bonus. Like, if you lose your toe.
Oh, bonus. You lose a toe when your feet are boom smaller. Okay.
Right. So the more you could get off your feet, the better. And that didn't matter. I mean, we're talking pre-surgery days. So they would do it by binding glass and nails into their feet so that they would get wounds and then eventually gangrene.
So they just rot the whole foot off. That's great.
Right. The smaller the foot, the better.
So 10% died of sepsis, which is an infection that takes over the whole body, causing a multi-organ shutdown. 10% of the girls who had their feet bound, or 10% of all deaths? I don't know. You didn't specify.
All girls that had their feet bound died
of sepsis. Yeah. Wow. Modern science also shows that reduced bone density in the hips and spine of these women. So they were then prone to fractures that had a very hard time healing.
Well, they had a sedentary life. You know, they didn't walk much. So, yeah, you imagine you get a hip or bone fracture and you're not able to really do much about it.
Right. Yeah, because
they die.
And then you want to know another thing. This is, I want to touch on this because I'm a nerd. Sedentary lifestyle is no good for bone density. Gravity is the best thing for bone density. And anything you can do to challenge gravity, like jumping jacks, jogging's kind of hard on you. And I would think jumping jacks are too. Jump roping is really good. Exercise to promote bone density, that and vitamin D and calcium from plant-based sources, not from dairy. Please don't ever think you're getting an adequate amount of calcium from dairy. It actually leaches your bones of calcium.
I knew you were going to be preachy.
Scientific fact. Yeah, I totally step off. I'm not super preachy on this podcast, but if I had my own podcast,
You have your own podcast.
What are your other sources of calcium then? I'm just curious.
So dark leafy greens are okay, wonderful. So other wonderful. Things
are normally in your diet.
Well,
not necessarily.
The standard American diet is truly a sad diet.
Oh God. Which,
right. So,
well, I have plenty of friends who don't eat anything that's green.
Well, yeah, no doubt. And, it just, they're probably not getting a lot of, vitamins and minerals.
There's
and
like four more.
That's why, you know, supplements are such a big booming business, you know?
Yeah.
We always feel like we need to supplement with something so we can eat the same thing we want to eat and supplement it otherwise, you know, so we actually get vitamins and minerals, even though it doesn't absorb in our system the same way that eating a dark green leaf would. So,
okay. All right.
So there's lots of plant-based sources. Anywho.
You can teach me how to eat, but
we'll do that later.
We'll do that later.
Well, we have a lot to do. Okay. So how about, binding the feed, super interesting. A lot of people have heard about that. This is one I have never heard of. Binding of the head. From Egypt to Mexico, skulls have been found with elongated appearance. Why? Are we going to find out why, Chris? I hope so.
Keep going.
King Tut to the ancient Incas bound the head while the skull is unformed and soft. That means that it starts at birth before the skull fuses together. And it could be very young children too, because the skull doesn't fuse, you know, until a little bit later. The Natural History Museum in Lima, Peru, has a collection of over 16,000 elongated skulls. I would love to see those. I am picturing just some crazy cone head looking crap.
I'll post lots of pictures.
Yeah, we're looking at them right now. It's crazy, man. I never thought about it either, Lane.
I know, and it does not sound hot at all. So,
babies, yeah.
So this was all done in the name of fashion. It was aesthetically an aesthetically desired look.
What did it do to the brain?
You'll find out.
Okay.
I could only imagine. So a long, thin skull was the sign of the upper class. How do you achieve that? First, let's go with how do you achieve this look? Two splints are placed, one at the forehead and one on the back of the skull. From there, bindings are placed around the head. Increasing pressure was added by tightening the wraps until the skull fuses into the desired shape. So gross. And I assume that could take years too.
It does. Yeah.
It sounds horribly painful, but not deadly.
Especially to get it to these huge proportions. I mean, I know that I'd never heard of this, but I had a friend that I worked with in recent years who had a son whose head was misshapen from birth. And I don't know whether it was...
the canal.
Yeah, because, you know, you see a baby right after it's born. And
they have elongated heads to help them fit through the birth
canal. But his apparently wasn't just from that, because it was still misshapen after 6 months or whatever the period of time was. So he had to wear a helmet.
Yeah.
To make his head round again. And, and he was like 1 year old at that point. And, I felt sorry for, you know, because you see this kid
with a helmet,
walking around with a helmet. But think of, the bit, it's like wearing braces. Yeah, it's inconvenient and you talk funny and they're uncomfortable. But in the long run, you're better off because of it. But
right.
This is definitely not that.
So I also wonder if braces, you think you're better off with braces, but actually that takes your teeth off natural alignment.
Really?
Yeah, so it can contribute to TMJ and different things like that. So
flattening.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, if a skull gets deformed by how you're sitting in the womb or how you've come through the birth canal or whatever, the helmets, I have not heard anything that is negative about that, like that anything bad could happen. And yeah, it gets the kid back to having that round, normal looking head, even if that's not how they were supposed to be. But all right, so this skull binding sounds painful, it sounds hideous, but does it sound deadly to you?
No, what happens? Why is it deadly?
It can often cause swelling of the brain. And then surgery would have to be performed by cutting a hole into the skull with obsidian tools, which just tickles me pink. And at these times, no anesthesia. So, ouch. These surgeries were common for warriors due to blows to their pointy heads. Those that recovered, which was slim. Scientists who can tell who survived as these large holes drilled into the skulls do not try to grow bone back. So that's crazy. It's not like a normal fracture. It's like a puncture and the bone doesn't try to heal back. That's nuts.
I will post pictures that I found. We're not finding them right now online, but when I was
this word in there, you think maybe that.
Well, when I was looking up head binding, what you'll see, you know, like some of them survive because the holes in the skull, they look like they start to heal back together.
Oh, they did show sign of you'll bone see, growth.
Like, it almost looks like a crater instead of just a hole, but you can definitely tell the people who didn't survive because nothing tried to grow back.
Right. There's just a big old hole. So
there's one. But they're usually bigger. That one tried to heal.
Elongating the skull also thinned the skull. People were more acceptable to brain injuries because of the stretched thin bone. And weapons of this time were made to deal heavy blows to the head. This beauty trend dates back 5,000... What dates back thousands of years, meaning we've done dumb shit to look hot since the early days of man. I wonder why they did this. So it doesn't necessarily like it came from the upper echelon, correct? You said it. Is that where you said it came from?
Well, yeah, the head stretching started, of course, like anything from. Those are the surgeries. So, you know, it came from the powerful people would stretch their head out as a sign that like, hey, I'm smarter than y'all. And then, of course, like anything, when rich people do something, you're like, hey, I want to do that. So you find a cheaper way to do it. And yeah, those are the surgery skulls. Like they didn't survive those. I'll post these pictures.
Yeah, but that wasn't a part of this. Elongation. This was just showing that
you'll see some elongated ones where they've got holes in.
Okay.
Right. I know. Did it have something to do with making you tall? Well, then again, they had to do it at birth. So I guess it wouldn't like you would want to be taller. If you had an elongated head, you'd be closer to the heavens or like, you know.
I didn't find anything like that. It was like an aesthetically pleasing look, like just to have these long. You know, I'm not going to get into aliens in past civilizations, but aliens. I don't know. Maybe they.
I'm not going to get into aliens, but it was probably the aliens.
They look like alien heads. They're like the cone heads.
What was the Indiana Jones movie? You know, where they found the crystal skull.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
No, that's what this looks like.
Oh, really? The crystal skull was elongated? See?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just associated with aliens.
If we can't... Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aliens. Next podcast.
There we go.
All right, next we're going to take
about an alien.
Who's an alien?
All right, so hemorrhaging and such and brain surgeries cause death with these elongated skulls because their tools that they use to fight with look like that. You can't see what I'm pointing at, but Inca and army would use these clubs that had these like star-shaped things on the end that you would literally just whack someone in the head with. It's like
to cause a head injury, cause a fracture in the skull,
and it would knock them out because they had very little protection on their brain. And if someone had had surgery, they've got soft spots. Like you get hit there, you're done.
Right. And the suture lines that are normal in the brain, the fused areas are probably extremely thin.
Yes.
As well.
Distorted. Right.
They do
heal correctly.
Look at this. This one says, what's polyhistoria?
I don't know.
I think it must just be like
multiple.
Anyway, it's saying 12,000 years ago, a boy had his skull shape modified. It's the oldest evidence of such head shape.
12,000 years.
12,000 years ago. I didn't even know that we went back that far.
Look how they were doing it, too. They were doing it instead of binding, binding the head, it was placed in a wedge.
Like a sandwich board. They would lay the baby in between a sandwich board, just close it on their head.
Right. Forcing the skull to grow into that wedge shape.
I couldn't even get my baby to hold still. And you think I'm going to put it in a sandwich board and smash its head?
Yeah, that's a big negative for me.
So what else we got?
So let's take a trip to Thailand.
Woo-hoo!
And this is, we're going to go to neck stretching, which is one that we've all seen. African tribes, right? Or I'm not good at geometry or anything, so I hate to say that, but
that's math, hon. Geology.
Yeah, geology. That's or geography. What I meant.
Or even geography. Yeah.
Hey, can you edit that out? Can you just go ahead and edit that? Okay, so yeah, I'm not good at geography, so
Wayne,
I don't.
You're everybody's favorite, so just let them go.
I am so happy that you love how stupid I can be. Okay. So, we all know that look, the beautiful black woman with the brass rings around her neck.
There's one called neck binding. Yeah, I'm listening.
Neck stretching. Okay. Anyway, we'll get into what the name of it's called, but we're not going to that picture that we have in our head of the beautiful black woman with the neck rings. We're going to go to Thailand. We're going to go to the Padong tribe of Thailand. They actually have several disforming beauty trends. On the northern Thai border, we find the long neck women. This tribe is known as the Kayan people.
Mm-hmm.
They are a subsect of the Karini people. And they date back to 739 AD. This tribe is still alive and well. And their religion is known as Khan Kwan. I hope that I'm pronouncing all these right.
You're doing really good.
I have a lot of respect for, people and their religions. They believe they are a product of a holy union between a female dragon and a human man/angel hybrid. Today, the Kayan people also practice Catholicism alongside their ancient practices. So cool. I love that this came from a spiritual affiliation, that the neck stretching is believed to resemble the female dragon, which is what they believe that they, are spawned from.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothesize that it is to make the women unattractive to surrounding tribes to prevent kidnapping and slavery. Some say that they do this to protect the women from tiger attacks. And another say it is to make the women more attractive, over exaggerating the neck so that it is more slender than a man's. Right. So a feminine look. But it actually doesn't stretch the neck at all.
I love this part.
I love this part. This is wicked as hell. Adding more rings to the neck over time actually puts pressure on the clavicle, changing the clavicle shape. The clavicle. I'm sorry.
Clavicle? The collarbone. Look at this. You can see how they push the collarbone down, and it's not the neck that stretches. They're pushing down, and that it pushes into their rib cage.
Yeah, so yeah,
we're looking at some of these really bizarre ones, really long. Look like a giraffe. I mean, it's that long.
Yeah, and I know. So
But now that she points that out to me, that you can see it, because it almost looks like the torso is shorter, and it is, because that's what's happened is.
Yeah, like hers.
I guess you could only stretch your spine or your neck
so far
before you.
Yeah. Right, I wonder what the gaps in between the spaces of the cervical spines actually look.
I'll post an x-ray of what this does to you, like a before and after, because what it does is it essentially sucks in the first part of the collarbone, so that gets elongated while your collarbone itself gets pushed into your rib cage. So it is ruining the body.
And it's showing plenty of people today doing this.
Oh, yeah. And it's not rings. It's a coil. So you take it off and add a new coil every, I don't know.
How the heck do you take it off?
Oh, I'll show you some without them. And they cannot support their heads at all.
Yeah. So it causes such deformation by adding more coils that you can never go without the coil. Yeah. They have no way to support their head, and their muscles have atrophied. So this also starts at the young age of 5, about, and they start with a small coil and gradually increase it over time. And then you said over time, the coil increases the turns around the neck.
Yes.
So does it start with like a necklace and then they just get bigger and bigger?
What I can show, and I can show pictures of this. So what happens is they get this, it's like a gold or copper coil, and they wrap it around the neck a few times. So to stretch it, they add more turns around the neck in that coil to make it look like there's more rings over time. Now they do have to add new, you know, they'll get a whole new set. It's not like they just do another turn, but they'll take them off and then they'll get a longer piece of metal and coil it around the neck. So the more turns around your neck, the longer, longest neck.
Who's got the longest neck?
It's fake.
Like we said before, this pushes the collarbone into the rib cage. It is an illusion that it is elongating the neck. When the coil's removed, it's to be replaced, and to be replaced, you can see that the neck is badly bruised and discolored.
It's just painful, I imagine.
I mean, all of these things are painful. It's like
getting braces. When they tighten your braces, it hurts. Ugh. 2 weeks, and then you kind of get used to it again.
Yeah, I hope it's only that much discomfort. This puts a lot of stress on the body, so the coils are only removed for medical exams or to add more length.
Now, one thing I didn't add to these people is they also blacken their teeth for aesthetic reasons. They think it's beautiful to have black teeth, but they are not the only culture that blackens their teeth.
Yeah, that's so weird.
A lot of cultures find beauty in black teeth. But anyways, yeah. I forgot to add that part.
So we wonder why they do it. If it's beauty in their culture and feels foreign not to wear. However, people outside the culture feel like these women are being exploited for tourism. But it's been going on so long, you know, that I don't think it had anything to do with tourism.
Well, go ahead.
Well, in 2006, there was a revolution. Young women removed their coils, some to pursue higher education, some to protest the exploitation. As of then, the government of Myanmar has discouraged neck coils. They want to help the tribe modernize. Many young Kayan refuse the coil. However, you will still find older women in their coils.
Now, what I meant by that, you know, there's in the 2000s, it was really there. Thailand was making a lot of money on these tourist trips to Myanmar just to show off these, you know, long necked ladies or whatever. And, you know, the long necked ladies are selling their goods and services, but clearly they didn't make those because they're very low quality. And, you know, it's just an exploitation thing. They know the tourists are coming to their area. They've been given stuff to sell to them, you know.
Right.
And a lot of the younger ladies in Myanmar are just, they're done with it. They're, you know, they're trying to modernize. They've tried to outlaw this. They can't.
Outgrowing a tradition that doesn't promote a healthy human being. So could you imagine this to be deadly? Could you?
Maybe.
I could not. I couldn't see how it would be deadly. However, pressure.
If you separated your head from your spine, it could be.
It puts a lot right. of pressure on your lungs because you're pushing your collarbone.
Well, yeah, but I bet they didn't even know that. They thought they were actually stretching their
they
neck.
Think, yeah, they don't know the
they didn't have right. x-rays and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, you know, if you, you ever seen these harnesses where mostly men, there was an episode on Andy Griffith's show where Barney wanted to be taller. So it's a thing that you hung your head in.
Mm-hmm. So you
stretch your body.
I almost added height stretching because people do that, but it's really horrible because they break the femur.
And that's what you're asking. Could this be deadly? I could see how this could be deadly.
Yeah, yeah.
If it did do that. Now, it's a gradual thing, so it's less likely
than right.
hanging yourself like this other thing does. But
and then actually, it's not like a dissection of the spinal cord. It was actually the pressure on your rib cage can lead to suffocation. So, boom shakalaka. It has, I mean, there were deaths due to that, but, so crazier things have happened. I'll tell you what, anything that we probably talk about on this podcast, we could find something crazier.
Oh yeah. There's lots of crazy ones, but I started small.
And maybe more socially known.
Well, I mean, like what we're looking at now. Teeth chiseling, pointing at the points, but those aren't deadly. They're just horrifying.
The tongue splitting.
Yeah, tongue splitting is a more modern thing.
Oh, what you just said was a historical thing?
Yeah, teeth sharpening was.
Oh, yes, that classic scene from, what is that New York movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? It was so good.
Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York. Yep. And
never saw it.
It's a great
you dad.
It's a long one.
So good though.
What did I have next?
Oh, you have Kremlins.
Okay, so I didn't do much writing on Kremlins, so I can take
Kremlins. Yeah, go ahead, take over.
Okay. So we're going.
How do you spell that?
C-R-I.
It's a good thing you don't listen to podcasts while you're driving and have to Google everything.
O-L-I-N.
Crinolines.
So what a crinoline was, and I was very specific about Victorian times. So, and we've already discussed Victorians and their just complete wackadoo ways of living and covering their...
They are a wackadoodle... looking group of peeps.
So in the fashions in Victoria, the most deadly of all of these topics, because 3,000, well, let me explain what a crinoline is first. if you don't know, a crinoline is this cage, and sometimes it's metal with fabric over it, and it keeps the big skirts, you know, it makes the skirt really big, how Victorians used to wear their dresses really big.
Have you seen A Million Ways to Die in the West?
No. Is crinoline away?
She wears one. Anyway, she wears one to a dance, to a barn dance. It's this big metal contraption under her dress. Anyway, you got to see it.
That's well, does she die? One
of the movies you'll ever see.
So they're like a crinoline, you know, in the Victorian times, having that big skirt. They don't know if it was to show signs of modesty, to hide your shape, or if it was to accentuate a small waist and wear a bustle under it.
I thought it was to make you look like you had a big butt, so you look like you ate well, so you look like you were wealthy. And I'm not lying.
It sounds so dumb because it's just essentially a petticoat. But now imagine a time where you don't have electricity, so you have fire in the fireplace, candles, oil lamps, all this, that, and the other. And you're dragging around a dress that's in 6 foot in diameter. You're going to hit things. You're going to knock over a candle. 3,000 women a year died from dress fires.
What?
Because the dresses take a whole team to put on and a whole team to take off. So if your dress caught on fire, not only is that the most flammable fabric ever, because it's just pure cotton, it took too long to get off. So if your dress caught on fire, you were very likely to die from it.
Were most of these well, you see metal ones. Those look horrifying because they're caged, literally cages.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Like,
these things look, they probably would bamboo or some kind of bent wood.
They
or...
used whalebone.
Okay.
And they used whalebones and also corsets. And the corsets, you know, you see ever since we've been born, pretty much, you'll see like the stereotypical woman that faints at the sign of something dramatic, you know, like, oh, and then she falls.
Oh, yes.
And it's believed because the corsets would cut off their ability to get oxygen to the rest of their brain and blood to their head, that it was very common for them to just drop dead or pass out very easily because of the corsets. Now, a corset, unlike a crinoline, a corset will actually modify your inner organs.
Well, yeah, I was looking at that before I got onto this one, and it showed how you're, just like with the binding of the head and the neck, it changed the shape of your rib cage.
Yeah, it does that, and it pushes all of your organs below your belly button.
Oh.
So when you look at like an MRI of someone in a corset, it completely changes the way, and they, you know, we're talking, they would, you've seen them in the movies. They take their foot on the bed and grab the straps and pull as tight as they can. And
right.
And would pass at, well, look for medieval. Well,
yeah, that's too far back.
Or Victorian.
Although, you know.
Yeah. I mean, those are modern takes on it, but.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very popular right now.
Corset organs. But yeah, like that's, so, you know, we talked about these body modifications, but these are just clothings.
Just keep talking. I'll
work. But you, like your organs, after wearing them for so long, you would push a lot of your organs below, and it was so tight that, thing, you know, your normal bodily functions couldn't get through that tiny little gap. So a lot of people would pass out because they couldn't breathe, and some of them died. Now, corsets back then were also made of whalebone, so you have
what?
To imagine how strong and rigid they are. They didn't really use metals and stuff. They used bone. They used whalebone.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would have just thought they were fabric. You know, just
well, even nowadays, corsets have metal in them, but they're very pliable metal that, you know, they're called ribs.
There you go.
Yeah. So you can see how it's complete. Her intestines have been pushed all the way under her waist. Her lungs are now pushed under her waist. So when she is trying to catch a breath,
holy cow,
she's going to pass out.
She's going to die.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the corset and the crinoline are probably the most deadly of all the clothes. There's also something called a t-shirt, a triangle shirt. And triangle shirts were also known to catch on fire. And we're going to talk about the triangle shirt factory fires.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, a lot of people died in that factory that day that it burned down. But triangle shirt, you've seen them. They come to a point at the bottom. They're worn with a big skirt. But, yeah, those things would cause a lot of damage as well. The Victorians, look at that waist. Imagine,
that's why I was looking at this one up here.
Imagine where her organs are. Yeah,
you I can't.
When you corset, when they corseted at least, they were damaging where their organs fell in their body. And also, from having that small waist all the time, they had a hard time not wearing one. So once you get so used to it, like a lot of these things, once you've been doing it so long, you can't undo it. You've done so much damage to your body that you can't stop using one. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat from people who love corsets now, and we're not talking about corsets nowadays. I'm talking about Victorians.
Yeah, this is not your, these aren't Spanx.
No, these aren't.
Well, and just to touch, you know, and yeah, hate away. I don't care. Tummy training. So they're doing tummy training.
And they do. Yeah, they do tummy training now with those bands.
And that's like a diet fad, you know, type thing where, you know, you put this on, but it's displacing organs. It's not causing a healthy flow, but women are doing it.
It's displacing fat too. So really it's just
fat. Yeah, true.
But I mean, I get it, but I mean, we do some crazy, crazy stuff for beauty, and we're not the only ones. People have done it for thousands of years.
Well, of everything you've talked about today, I would say corsets or some form of them are the most multicultural.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because whether it's Vikings or whether it's, you know, whatever it is.
Women always, yeah, because you want to accentuate the waist, you know, just to look, to be more feminine.
Well, what do you, these like a Victorian corset top, this was actually on the outside. This isn't something you wore underneath your clothes.
Sometimes,
it was actually the clothes itself.
Sometimes they would put this on and then put a dress on top of that.
Oh, okay.
They would wear layers, which is why when you would catch fire, it was so hard to get out of your clothes. All those things are flammable and you've got so many layers on. You know, you got velvets and stuff, and they just go up in flames. Imagine being stuck in your dress. I mean, when we talked about, what was his name, Cayetano, when he lit that little girl's dress on fire and she died from it, you're thinking, like, if my clothes lit on fire, I would be fine. I would just get out of them or stomp them out or whatever. But imagine, like, having so many layers on that you just...
You can't.
Can't do it. You're like, I'm going to slowly die. They just go up in flames. 3,000 people a year in Britain died from crinolines.
Wow. That's insanity.
Yeah. But that was really, I mean, we have so many other beauty standards to go over. These were just the few that I kind of carved out for today. And you did a great job telling the story.
Did I?
You did.
I felt like I was just reading your notes.
Well, and you were, but you kind of did it in your own way. You even did it out of order, so.
You're out of order.
You're out of order.
No, you're out of order.
You remind me of a man.
What man?
The man with the power.
What power?
Power of voodoo.
Voodoo?
You do.
Ah, remind me of a man.
I do what?
This has been fun. It's been fun having Dad on the episode, especially since he's like pulling up the pictures as we talk.
Well, I know.
But I wish I'd have been on an episode. I want to get back to the wickedness, you know, the makeup thing and now, you know, corsets and small feet. Let's get back to the
dirties,
the guts, and the blood and the guts.
Next week I'm going to do a gory episode.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I'm going to find something gory because I got a lot of... I think I'm going to do the human zoo next week. If Bailey Sarian does the damn human zoo before I do, I'm going to be real upset.
Okay, and like always, I'll try to think of ideas. And like always, if there's anything you want us to research and tell our take.
Yeah, we've got ideas like Genghis Khan, who I'm working on.
Oh, yeah. His story is
big.
Yeah, that would be a big one.
He killed like 40 million people.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, he was something.
How do you keep up with that, baby?
He just took over everywhere he went. He took over all of Asia, just Russia, everywhere. Yeah, we'll talk about it. And how 40% of the population today can track their roots back to Genghis Khan.
What do you call it? That thing, what was that thing you had to spell for me before?
Crinoline?
Crinoline.
Crinoline. C-R-O?
I. Crinoline. L-I-N.
Anyway, go ahead. You don't want dead air on the radio.
No, I mean, but podcast. That's really the end of it, right?
Right, that's the end of it.
We caught everything. So I guess
I can't believe you two haven't seen A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I don't really watch a lot of movies.
I don't get to watch shit. I have children. I haven't watched a TV show. I got so excited to go on vacation. I watched Black Mirror. It's a show on Netflix that came out, I think, like
years and years.
Oh my God, so many years ago. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And I'm like,
it really is.
It's super amazing. And I'm like, I am 10 years behind. Everybody has seen this. Bummy.
Bummy.
Bummy. Me don't watch nothing.
I get it. I watch YouTube stuff to research this and read articles, and that's pretty much it.
I'm watching season 3 of Camp Cretaceous for the 50th time.
Camp Crustaceans.
All right,
well, that's the end of the beauty stand.
I don't want it to end.
Well, we'll have to invite Dad on more
often. All right, listen, we could also just do like a three-way call. Like, we can talk about whatever you want, and it doesn't really matter if there's dead air.
Yeah, the metal.
But I have to go home and make some squash.
All right. So we'll see y'all next week. Thank you. And as always, please submit any ideas that you have.
Yeah.
We love y'all, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.